I heard barking, and then I heard a yelp.
And what did you find when you got outside?
Her pit bull in our fenced backyard.
Their dog survived the mauling.
I saw him limping, and he was bleeding all over the floor.
But a neighbor's inaction.
Your dog injured her dog, you say, because of the nature of the breed.
Causes more bad blood.
Who's to say their dog didn't get, you know, cut going underneath the fence or something?
I'm here to say it.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Joseph and Rhonda Rothwell are suing their neighbor, Amanda Silver, for vet bills. The Rothwells claim Amanda's pit bull entered their yard and attacked their Yorkie.
Order. All rise. Yes, yeah, case number 28 on the calendar, the matter of Rothwell versus Silver.
Thank you.
Parties have been sworn in. You're welcome, Judge. You may be seated. Gentlemen, have a seat.
You folks are neighbors. You have some smaller dogs, and you have dogs also. Your dogs are larger.
Yes.
Sadly, one of your small dogs was injured seriously by one of Ms. Silver's dogs, and the vet bill was substantial. Is the dog okay now?
Yes.
Vet bill, which you have, is something like $4,300.
Yes.
The question is Ms. Silver responsible for her dog's actions? How long have the two of you been neighbors?
To tell you the truth, I'm not sure. I think 6 months, maybe.
How long have you lived in your current home?
It's been about a year.
And how long have you been there?
23 years.
What kind of dogs do you have?
Yorkies.
How many?
Four.
And how many dogs do you have?
Two.
What kind?
Pit bulls.
How old are they?
One's about 1.5, and the other one's about 2.5.
How long have you had them?
The one that supposedly injured their dog is...
Well, there's no question that you acknowledge that your dog injured her dog. The question is whether you are liable for it.
Right.
But there's no question. I mean, I read your answer. Your answer acknowledges that your dog injured her dog, you say, because of the nature of the breed. Those were your words.
That dog is about 1.5 years, and I've had her about 3 months.
So you got her as an adult?
Yes.
Okay. The other dog is 2.5, and how long have you had that dog?
His whole life.
So the dog that injured the Rothwell's Yorkie, you've only had for a short time?
Yes.
So you know very little personally about that dog's history?
Pretty much.
All right. Now, on what date did this incident happen with your Yorkie?
March 24th of this year.
What time?
Around 7 o'clock at night.
Who observed it?
I did not observe it. I heard barking, started going downstairs, thinking that their dog was against our fence again, went down there, and then I heard a yelp, and then I ran the rest of the way out there.
And what did you find when you got outside?
Her pit bull in our fenced area backyard.
What did you do?
My son came. He was right behind me because two of our other little dogs were still out there, and I was just kind of in between her pit bull and my dogs to make sure it didn't bother one of them, and I started yelling over to their house, "Your dog is in our yard. Can someone come get it?"
Did you see anyone in their yard?
We have trees in between our house and their house, so through a little bit of the trees, we could see some, but we could definitely hear them.
Did you take your dog to the vet that day?
Yes, we did.
Could you describe her condition?
When I had gone back upstairs, I did not know that my dog was bitten because we were downstairs with them. When I went upstairs, my son had told me that his...
Your first name is?
Marcus.
Tell me what you observed when you were outside.
Came outside, seen their pit bull in our yard. He was looked like he was trying to get back out, couldn't find a way out. So I put our other two Yorkies back inside. And as I put them inside, I didn't see our other dog, Moose. So I went back upstairs, and I saw him limping, and he was bleeding all over the floor. He had hopped up onto the couch and was severely bleeding. Went back downstairs to tell my mom, we need to go to a vet. Moose is bleeding everywhere.
And you took him to the vet?
Yes.
Okay, may I see the vet bills, please?
We have, from that day itself, we have two different vets. The first one, we took him to at the end of his visits there. They had told us for him...
Don't tell me what they told you. Do you rent or own that house?
I rent it.
Do you work?
No, I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Who supports the house?
I'm getting a divorce right now, so I get alimony and child support from my ex-husband.
How much do you get?
I get about $800 a month.
How many children do you have?
I have two children.
How old?
My daughter is 6 and my son is 2.5.
She has one on the way.
So you don't work?
No.
And other than somebody else, you have no source of income?
Pretty much.
Then what do you need two dogs for?
Well, I've had the dogs since before my husband left.
No, not one of them. You added to your menagerie. You can't afford to take care of your own children. What are you taking on another dog for? They're expensive, I know. I have dogs. You have to pay to feed them. You got to pay to vaccinate them if you want to take care of them appropriately. They're expensive. You can't afford a pet. Now, did you see what happened on March 24th with your dog?
I did not see it.
Did you see them?
No, I didn't see it when it was in her yard.
So you didn't see what happened?
No, I seen their dog come into her yard, and then when that happened, Amanda brought her dogs back in the house.
Oh, well, stand up. Then you saw something. I'm going to try to piece together what you saw. Go ahead.
So we were outside barbecuing, and we seen...
Who are you?
I'm Michael Tyler.
Who are you?
Her friend.
Her boyfriend or her friend?
Just a friend.
Just a friend. Go ahead.
So we seen one of their dogs come into the yard.
Not we. You.
Yeah,
only you.
I saw
only
one.
You. I want you to tell me, because she didn't see anything.
So I saw their dog in my yard earlier, but I didn't see the attack
what?
In their
Just
yard.
Just a second. What time earlier?
I don't know. We were barbecuing, had some friends over and stuff.
What
so I
time
really...
earlier?
It was probably...
An hour earlier, 5 minutes earlier, 20
hour,
minutes earlier?
An hour to 2 hours earlier.
Okay. So that's totally irrelevant to me, what you saw 2 hours earlier. Go ahead.
What I was saying is they had one of their dog, or one of their dogs had came into the yard.
When?
About an hour before that, and she brought her dogs back in the house when that happened.
Who brought the dogs back into the house?
Amanda did.
Yes, and why?
Because there was
Why did you bring the dogs back into the house?
Because their dog was in my yard.
Great. And then their dog wasn't in your yard, you continued to barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
And then about an hour later, I let my dogs back out. And, you know, I'm back and forth in the house, to the grill, to the kitchen, and I go back in my house, and my dad comes in my house with my dog, and he's like...
Don't tell me what your father said. If your father wanted to testify, he would have come here.
Okay, well, my dad comes into my house with my dog and said that...
Don't tell me what they said.
What do you want
said?
Me to tell you then? I mean...
No, you can't tell me what he said. It's hearsay. So, actually, if in fact their Yorkie was in your backyard an hour or two earlier, it had absolutely nothing to do with this incident.
Well, my dog has never gone into their yard before that. So
doesn't
my dog
matter.
Saw their dog in their yard, so...
Doesn't matter.
And who's to say nobody saw my dog attack their dog, so who's to say their dog didn't get, you know, cut going underneath the fence or something? What if their dog had...
I'm here to say it. I'm here to say it. You have dogs that are capable of causing that kind of damage. You want to keep them around your two children. That is your business. You want to bring an unknown dog that's capable of causing that kind of damage into your house? That's your business. That dog causes injury to somebody else's child or animal. That becomes not only their business, but your responsibility. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $4,200. Thank you.
Excuse
that's
me,
all.
Ma'am.
That's
Your Honor.
That's
Your Honor.
It.
Why is that excuse? You may step out.
We definitely feel she's irresponsible.
They're very rude, threatened to shoot my dogs.
Yes, we did. In the heat of the moment, yes, we did.
Pretty much didn't let me get a word in.
Hopefully someone will take her dogs away. She's irresponsible.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Nicholson versus Johnson. Step forward.
Carl and Nancy Nicholson are suing golfer Ken Johnson for breaking their car windshield when he hit an errant shot.
Mr. Johnson, you're a golfer.
Yes.
An avid one?
I used to be.
On what date was the window of your car shattered?
What day was that?
May 9th.
And is the car in your name?
My name.
Your name. So what are you doing here?
I presented the case. I filed the case at the courthouse with her. She put my name on it, so I had to show up, basically.
Oh, well, you could sit down.
Thank you.
Who parked the car?
My son, Nicholas.
Nicholas, up. Now, Nicholas, where did you park your car?
On campus drive with the rest of the students park.
Is that a formal parking lot?
It's actually on the street.
Now, on May 9th, you were playing golf.
That's correct.
Who were you playing with?
Three other guys. We were playing in a tournament.
Okay, so this is what happened. Your car window got smashed.
Yes.
And you have reason to believe, and Mr. Johnson actually doesn't deny the fact that it was his ball with these markings that you found in your car that caused the damage to your car. Mr. Johnson's argument seems to be that when you park near a golf course, you assume the risk.
That is correct.
And he says that by assuming the risk of parking near a golf course, it becomes your responsibility to fix the damage.
That's your responsibility argument. When he walks on the golf course.
Sir.
I thought I heard something. I couldn't actually believe my own ears that something was coming out of this side of the room.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
It was an accident. You meant to zig and you zagged. You meant to go straight and you hooked to the left.
And later today.
I got him a cell phone in 2010. He started running up overages charges.
We're not doing this. There was a termination fee. Brack, we're really not doing this.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Carl and Nancy Nicholson claim golfer Ken Johnson broke their car windshield when he hit an errant shot.
Now, Mr. Johnson, have you ever played miniature golf?
Yes.
What would happen if you decided to tee up on a miniature golf course, take a good full swing, the golf ball, instead of going through the little windmill and through, you know, the waterworks, hit somebody in the eye and blinded them that was walking across the street from the miniature golf course? Would that be the fault of the person who was walking in the street?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, it would be your fault. It would be your fault. They don't have to go around the street because of the miniature golf course. You have a responsibility when you play a sport to play it in a reasonable manner. So if in the example that I just gave you, if my child were blinded by your golf ball, I'd own your house and your car and probably everything else you owned, unless you had real good insurance. So it becomes a relatively easy case for me because there's no issue with regard to whether or not that golf ball is yours. Mr. Nicholson here was parked on a public street.
I have photos that show that all the students park their cars within 6 feet of the golf course.
Well, I want to see if it's on a public street, sir.
Yeah, it's a public street.
So what? So I'd like to see the pictures.
And these are all
the
photos.
Is what you're trying to say, Mr. Johnson, that if you park on a public street and the public street happens to be near a shooting range and you get in your car and somebody isn't holding their gun actually properly and instead of shooting at the target, they get you in the head, that they have assumed the risk because the business there is a shooting range?
Well, they've assumed the risk by parking in the wrong location.
Well, just a second. Why is this the wrong location? This is where they are allowed to park.
But they take precautions in that, and they park the vehicles behind, let's say, a shooting range or whatever, so chances of that happening are not real good because most of the weapons point downrange, and they have marshals that, you know, regulate that. Also, on the back of the scorecard, you can see, and those photos show, that they have protective fences. Why do they have protective fences up, especially on hole number one, which parallels Santa Anita? Hole number two parallels Campus Drive. And I explained to the golf course when they came out and asked the question, I said, you guys should have a protective fence up there.
Yeah, now, you take that up with the golf course. You were playing on the golf course.
But we have errant shots. It wasn't
errant. That's the word. Errant. You know what the word errant connotes, sir? Errant connotes accident.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Sue him. He didn't have to sue him. You sue him. You say, I was just forced by that lady with the lace collar to pay for his windshield. And it's really your fault.
And later today.
I helped you with move-in supplies, a better cell phone, and a tattoo because I loved you. It's over, Miss Brock. Say goodbye to him.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Carl and Nancy Nicholson claim golfer Ken Johnson broke their car windshield when he hit an errant shot.
Now, it was an accident. You meant to zig and you zagged. You meant to go straight and you hooked to the left.
Harley.
Know what I'm talking about?
Right.
And so that is an accident because you didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, right, it wasn't intentional.
And no, it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't reckless.
No, it wasn't intentional.
Right.
It was an accident. You certainly didn't intend for that golf ball to either damage their car or blind my child. Right? You didn't intend that. But it's your accident.
Right.
And if you feel as if, since it's your accident, and you feel as if the golf course should be responsible for not having a protective fence, sue him. He didn't have to sue him. You sue him. You say, I was just forced by that lady with the lace collar to pay for his windshield. And it's really your fault because you should have had a protective fence up. So you're going to pay me what I had to pay him. But he just parked his car on a public street. What does he have to do with your errant golf ball? How much was it to fix the windshield?
$375.
How much?
$385.
Judgment for the plaintiff. That's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I pulled a shot, went into the trees, and I don't know what happened to it.
He hit the golf ball into my son's car.
I just couldn't put the ball where I wanted to that day.
You need to be accountable for your behavior.
Just, you know, one of those days. That's golf.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Brack versus Smith. Step forward.
Trisha Brack is suing her ex-boyfriend, Michael Smith Jr., for loans to buy a bed and household supplies and cell phone cancellation fees.
Ms. Brack, you claim a series of loans to the defendant who was a boyfriend of yours. Mr. Smith said there were never any loans. You bought him things. You were trying to help him reestablish himself. When the romance fell apart, you started to ask him for money. Would you tell me when for the first time you made an alleged loan to Mr. Smith?
It was back around November.
November of?
2011. We had dated for several years off and on, and we had split up. We started speaking again in October. He didn't have anywhere to stay at the time. He was staying with a friend. He didn't have an apartment, and he got a new apartment. I was there with him, but he didn't have any money to get anything to stay. He didn't have a bed or any supplies or anything. I'm a full-time student. I had gotten a large sum of money for my student loan, so I offered to help him get some move-in supplies, and he was supposed to pay me back.
No, not supposed to pay you back. That's a conclusion.
No, we
that's a
we
conclusion.
Discussed it, and I
told want you
him,
to tell me how that came about.
Well, I said, I'll help you get some move-in supplies, you know, some basic necessities, and he didn't have a bed, so I helped him get an air mattress, and I said, if I do that, can you pay me back over a period of time? And he said, yes.
Is that what happened?
No, that's not what happened, Your Honor. I did move into an apartment. I was struggling financially. She did offer to help me. We were in a situation where we were staying back and forth from each other. She'd come to my place, I'd come to hers. I did have an air mattress, and she did not want to sleep on the air mattress. So she had the money at the time, and she said, I have the money, I can help you with this. There was no, you know, signed agreement, no agreement saying.
No, doesn't have to be a signed agreement.
Well, there's no agreement verbally or anything saying. It was just, you know, I felt that she did it because.
Don't tell me what you feel.
Gotcha.
I just want to know what was said, Mr.
Yes,
Smith.
Ma'am. You got it. Yes, Your Honor.
What was said?
That was it. Just I don't want to sleep in a bed while I'm here, and I'm in a position to help you right now, and so I'm going to buy this.
What's next?
Well,
what's next?
The bed.
Forget the bed. We moved past the bed. You told me about the bed.
No, because I bought him a bed because of the air mattress that I bought him popped, and
keep
I
going.
Said,
move forward. Move forward.
The cell phone.
When did you get a cell phone for him?
I got him a cell phone in 2010. He was supposed to be paying for his service on the phone.
Yeah.
He started running up overages charges, and there was a termination fee.
Brack, we're really not doing this.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Look, it's over. Sometimes you invest a little bit of money. In this case, it was a very little bit of money. And you got out relatively unscathed. You devoted a couple of years of your life. It didn't work out. But that doesn't mean there has to be a financial payback. We're not talking about phones that were purchased in 2010.
I have proof that he agreed to pay me back.
Show me.
It's right here. I told him that...
No, show me. Show me.
In the pages, it says... That he'll pay me back over the next year in the last page.
Just a second. I helped you with move-in supplies, a bed, a cell phone, and a tattoo because I loved you. He says here, you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and then you say, like, over what period of time? I'm serious. I'm done with this being an issue. It's not right. And he says to you in the next year, and you say, talk like talk. Talk like we're together talk, or talk like chat talk. This is a nightmare. You want money, you take me to court. If you wait until I'm saying bad stuff, then you respond to make it look good on you. It's over, Ms. Brack. Say goodbye to him. That's all.
Please excuse, you may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I have tortured Mr. Washington sufficiently for my morning. He has been my morning appetizer.
Hope I was good.
You were ordinary, Mr. Washington.
Next, Judge Judy.
He agreed to pay me back and obviously just used me.
It was a bad relationship.
Originally, we were trying to get back together and make things work.
Tried to be controlling.
I tried to help him because I love him.
Looking up phone records to see who I was calling, just trying to control my life.
Don't loan people money.